You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Fourth and final hour here on this Monday afternoon. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We bring in our buddy Stu Grimson. NHL Network is where you can find his work. Former Predator, used to be Willie's broadcast partner on the Predators broadcast. And we always enjoy our conversations with the Grim Reaper. Stu, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good, guys. Everybody, come Monday morning, everybody fairly entertained now that we've got hockey back on the ice.
Do you know how nice it has been today for the first 3 hours of the show to have a true reaction Monday to live sports? It is so refreshing.
You know how nice it is. You know how nice it is to have a break from the CNN coronavirus global and U.S. Case counter. Do you know how
nice
break that is?
It's a very nice break. It's a very welcomed break. I said, I don't know if you made your predictions or not, Stu, if you made them public and official. We did on Friday's show. And I said at the very beginning of today's show, I just said figuratively, we're not going to make any changes. But the three of us made our picks. And I said, let's just say you feel like after watching all this hockey this weekend, you could go back and make one change to one of your picks. And we're not going to, but let's just say for the sake of this discussion, you feel like it's a whoops pick. And I immediately identified right out of the gates. I watched Carolina and New York on Saturday, and I went, whoops, I'm on the wrong side. I picked the Rangers, and I still feel even stronger about that now, considering it's 3-1 in the third period. But going into these series, in your mind, you thought somebody was going to win, and then after just one game, you've reassessed and you think, uh-oh, I may be on the wrong side. Which series would that be?
Oh gosh, that is a really good question. I mean, you know, I'm sure we'll spend some time talking about the matchup that involves the local squad. And I really, as much as I like those Coyotes, I think they're really scrappy. I think they're very well coached. They play to a fairly well-defined structure, play to their identity, and get, you know, consistent goaltending. I still saw the Preds prevailing. And that's not to say I've counted the Preds out, not by a long shot, but I'll tell you, when you're faced with, you know, a rather daunting statistic, which goes along the lines of 85% of the teams that win in game one, in a five-game series, since we've had this series in existence, this form of a series, you know, that's kind of a daunting statistic. So this will be a close one to call. This will be a very tough one to call. Big challenge for Nashville going into game two.
So where do you stand on the side of Matthew Tkachuk and the whole Jets-Flames series? Scheifele goes down in the first period. Paul Maurice has been very vocal about the Tkachuk hit. Obviously, Ward has defended his team. Where do you stand on that hit?
Well, here's the thing. You know, I think a lot of us get kind of wrapped up in getting into the intent of the player, the attacking player in any given circumstance like this. And really, I think you kind of have to set aside intent and just not fall into that part of the discussion, because I think it ends up being kind of immaterial, doesn't inform the situation at all. As I look at that, I understand that there's certainly an argument for the fact that there may have been some kind of a, you know, 8 foot, eight kicking motion where Tkachuk is concerned. I just, at the end of the day, to charge a player or discipline a player for something like that. And I understand there's a really tough injury on the other side of this to a key player for the Winnipeg Jets. But I honestly, I think I would need to see more before I ever got to a place where I was putting Tkachuk in suspension territory of a game or two or more.
By the way,
I would need to see more that looked like, you know, a player's intentional kick.
We're about 25 minutes away from the drop of the puck for game two in that series. Have we seen anything on Scheifele or Laine? Has there been any official anything out there yet?
To my knowledge, no. To my knowledge, no. I have not heard anything.
We'll keep close tabs on that. There were a lot of penalties called in the Predators-Coyotes game, 11 power play opportunities between the two teams. There were a lot of power plays around the league over the weekend, a lot of penalties. Do you just chalk that up as unusual circumstances, everybody coming back from four-plus months off, a little sloppy play out of the gates, undisciplined play, I guess?
I think so. And I think, too, you know, to me, I attribute it to two things, Darren. I think, you know, there are, in a lot of these series or the games that we saw over the course of the weekend, we saw two teams for whatever reason or teams matching up that were kind of in a different emotional states to start. Some started fast, some started a little flat. And I think anytime that happens, you can get, you know, that team that's flat, that team that's trailing ends up taking a lot of penalties. And the other piece I chalk it up to is, you know, I maintain it tends to be easier to defend than it is to generate offense when you've had a long layoff like this. But that's an overly simplistic view, because at the end of the day, you know, defense requires a good read. Defense isn't just about skating hard and making sure you've got your man. Defense requires, you know, a mental read of the play, and having sustained a long layoff like these guys have, that part of the game will come back by repetition, but they're probably a little rusty in that respect as well. So, again, teams on emotional planes in a different space, and then I think this inability to read like you would that we typically see this time of year on the defensive side of things.
Which city has the greater chance, Stu, of burning couches in the streets if they lose in this qualifying round, Toronto or Edmonton? Which one?
You know what? I've often said this. Toronto is, there is no better place to be a hockey player when hockey is going well. But there is no place that's more challenging to play than Toronto when it's not going well. Leafs fans love their Leafs, but it's kind of, it's a bizarre, kind of a really peculiar thing. They love to hate their Leafs when things are going poorly, too. So I think they might just, you know, they might turn on that club if they fail to advance past this round.
So Toronto will be burning couches in the streets if the Leafs can't turn the series around. Okay.
That's my best guess.
Willie?
We're talking to Stu Grimson from the NHL Network. By the way, I just saw a couple of tweets of the line rushes. No Scheifele and no Laine for the Jets. So
yikes.
Tough to lose players of that caliber in that
I'd
in
like
that
to
situation.
Change my pick now.
Can we make – we all three took Winnipeg. Can we officially right now, before they drop the puck, change to Calgary?
Probably. You know, but Stu, you threw out the numbers of the five-game series, and it is eye-opening for sure. Of course, there haven't been the five-game series in a long, long time, but it is interesting. Put yourself in the locker room, and your team is down 1-0. You can't do anything about the first game other than make the adjustments. But how does it change your mindset? I mean, when you boil it down, you just have to try to go back and start off game two the right way, et cetera, right? You have to try to keep it simple if you can and not pay attention to the numbers.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Willie, you know, because I think that the statistic that I threw out there, the 85%, if you win game one of a five-game series, 85% chance you'll go on to prevail in that series. I think it's worth kind of really honing in on that, because I don't know that 85% necessarily, 85%, a statistic like that applies to this particular circumstance. Remember, that 85% is taken from a scenario where teams have had a full regular season and then advance into the playoffs, and then they're put in the context of a five-game series. Those folks are really on top of their games, and you're not going to have a lot of variance where that 85% is concerned. So the point I'm making is, right now, teams are struggling to find their games, and I think there are ebbs and flows in consistency. So that number probably needs to be more like, well, I think we'll end up finding that number is probably more like 75% or 70% or less in a context like this. So, you know, if I'm the Nashville Predators, there is lots of positive stuff to draw from that outing. Yes, they're guilty of a slow start. They got some quirky bounces. I give Arizona all kinds of credit for, you know, putting the pressure on the defense, the Predators, to defend just by getting pucks there. I thought that's a that appeared to be a tactic, a strategy that served them well. But at the end of the day, the way that that game wore on, I mean, I think you saw through the back half of that game, Nashville was probably the stronger team. Regrettably for Nashville Predators fans, for Smashville, the score just didn't bear that out.
Which 12 seed do you think has a better chance of winning? This is the kind of question you guys like to kick around on the NHL Network shows. I think it's great. So you have Chicago and Edmonton, both won in very – I'm sorry, Chicago – And Montreal won in very different ways. You know, Montreal, the classic goalie steals it, it goes to overtime, and then Chicago just jumped all over a flat Oilers team. So who do you give a better chance of winning the series?
You know, it's a tough question. In the one series, you know, you've got the Carey Price factor, and gosh, you know, my broadcast counterpart, Kevin Weeks, is fond of saying, I just don't bet against superheroes, and that's what you've got. That's what you've got in Carey Price. You've got a superhero. I don't know. I really do see the Penguins coming back. I see the Penguins, given the way they're built, given the Crosby factor, I think that's going to be a competitive series. As I look at the Blackhawks versus Oilers series, you know, you've got guys like Jonathan Toews, and to me, he drives that team, and sometimes even in very subtle ways. You've got, you know, the top-end guys who have experience, I think, are leading, and then you've got a newer layer of young players like Kubalik kind of coming into the mix, and I see these guys really settling in, really buying into the culture, and starting to benefit, and the tangible results become obvious. So to me, at the end of the day, as I weigh those two series, I like the Blackhawks perhaps even stronger than the Canadiens to go on and win as a 12 seed.
We're talking to Stu Grimson of the NHL Network. And something we were discussing earlier, Stu, as it relates to the Predators and the Arizona Coyotes, was it seems with this Preds team that there are times in a game throughout the season, you can even trace this back to last season, where things might get away from them. There's a bad goal, a bad bounce, and it just snowballs out of control and they can't stop it. Why do you think that is? Do you think it's just the makeup of this team? They need a leader that's like a Mike Fisher type or Shea Weber type that they've had in the past. What do you think is going on with that?
Yeah, that's interesting. It's a good question, Chase. And I think really before I would identify players where that concern or that trend is concerned with the Preds, you know, what you're really talking about is, one, it's an inability to start on time and to start with energy and play at top tempo. And then two, once things, you know, if things don't go your way, you need kind of that take charge presence within the locker room and to get things kind of going in a different direction. Because what you're dealing with at that moment is a tremendous sag in confidence. And I think, you know, in part due to the unavailability of somebody like Ryan Ellis in the past, and I'm encouraged to see him in the mix, him playing the way he's playing, I think a Ryan Ellis is somebody that's probably every bit as important to to one leading to leading by example to this group at the end of the day. And again, that should be an encouragement to Preds fans. To me, they have the personnel to kind of get this turned around. I'd be looking to the likes of a Yossi, the likes of a Ryan Johansson, a Duchesne, Ryan Ellis specifically, because we've seen him elevate his game in the past to impact the group for the better.
89 consecutive playoff starts for Pecorine comes to an end yesterday. UC Soros gets the start. I know they didn't get the W, but what did you think about Soros' performance?
Yeah, I thought he was pretty solid. By no means was he spectacular. The trouble with UC and UC's outing, he was in a really tough circumstance. I mean, when you have a goal like the initial, like the 1-0 goal, kind of one go off Kyle Turris from well out at the point, then number two, it kind of loops off of Duchesne at a really awkward angle. You know, early on in the match, he's having to deal with probably, you know, kind of a personal challenge just in terms of, you know, starting one down. And then, two, the club in front of him, I thought, went through a bit of a collective sag there as well. So that's probably the answer for goals two and three. Beyond that, I thought UC was solid. I would have no concerns about John Hines coming back with UC because, you know, we've really seen him. And Willie and I sat up there in the booth and really evaluated him from the moment he stepped into the organization. He's demonstrated he's the kind of goaltender that could, you know, that could carry you to a three-game series win versus the Coyotes.
We've talked a lot too about the Jofa line, the top line of Arvidsson, Johansson, and Forsberg being put back together. You look at the score sheet.
By the way, we still have to credit Stu, I think, for coining the phrase. He got it. I think he got an idea from, I can't remember exactly the details, Stu, but I think you were the first really to bring it to the table on the airwaves. Are you printing, like, you know, trademarks or anything? You might have the rights there.
You know, before you raised it, I had not considered that, but there may be some intellectual property rights to be possessed there. Well, you're right.
I think you should jump on that, Stewie. I think that would be good. But yesterday, they obviously were the best line, and that's the concern to me, that I want to see them together. We all want to see them together. We know what they can do. But it's everybody behind them that has to step up. I mean, there was a ton of success had by the Bonino line this year, and yesterday they just weren't really on the ice much. So how do you find that balance of knowing that you have that top line that can do so much for you, but you have to get something out of the rest of your players as well?
Yeah, and you're exactly right, Chase. I prefer this roster when those three are together, but typically two scenarios come up where you have to separate one or more from that three-player trio. And one, it's if, you know, lines two through four aren't going well. Typically what Coach Laviolette has done in the past, and I'm sure Coach Hines to some degree, you know, Arvidsson is the kind of guy that can get other people going. He can generate momentum and generate opportunity for other lines. So maybe you're mixing him in through line two alongside of Turris or Duchesne or something like that. And then, too, sometimes we've even seen the Jofa unit get into a bit of a funk themselves, whereby whoever's pushing the buttons at that time is kind of changing up the mix in that regard. But, you know, there's a lot to like with the way they started, the way they played through the opening game versus Arizona. I mean, I'm inclined in the context of a five-game series where, you know, every game just grows in importance as compared to a seven-game series. I'm sure we'll see Coach Hines keep that unit intact. It was really one of the bright storylines, one of the truly positive elements that came out of the first outing for the Preds. And I think they could have the impact of kind of elevating the rest of the group along with them if they're able to get on the board first.
Real quick, Stu, what did you make of the whole front office deal with the Coyotes? And how cool is it to have a couple former Preds and Steve Sullivan and Scott Walker now sliding into the roles that they're in? because of that bizarre story.
Yeah, I don't have a good feel for what went on there. It seems a very strange situation, but so glad to see Sully step up. And I give him a lot of credit. Here's a guy who's kind of put in his time. He has learned the operations side of our game, kind of ground up, starting at the player development level. And this is a guy that, he's a good guy, and you want to see the good people, you want to see them succeed. So I think they've got a good thing going. I mean, I really do think that Chaika was instrumental in getting this group, heading in the right direction and forming a good bit of this, the current identity that they have. I think they've got a pretty good thing going. And, hopefully Sully's in a spot where he gets a chance to to build on that, although that's probably a better conversation to have in a different market other than Middle Tennessee.
Probably so. Remember, if Columbus pulls out that series, watch out for the couches in Toronto. Stu, good stuff as always. Good to talk to you, and continue to keep up the good work. We'll be watching, and we'll talk to you soon.
Good show, you three. Fun to be with you.
Yep. Thanks, Stu Grimson, Stu. NHL Network is where you can find him, former Predator. Always good to catch up with him. Rangers still down 3-1 in that game, about 8 minutes to go in that contest. They will be down 0-2 in that series if they don't turn things around in a hurry. And they're about 5-10 minutes away from dropping the puck with Calgary and Winnipeg. Flames up 1-0 in that series. More of Darren Donick and Chase on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.